games, gear, grills. Welcome to the Geek Grills Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 139 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills Podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills. I am Linda, and I'm joined by my co-host, The Jen.
Hi.
And September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hello.
It's been a little bit since we've been on. Life and surgeries and all sorts of things, but we'll get y'all catched up and catched up.
Yeah, I'm making up words. We're going to get some ketchup. It's cool.
English real good.
I can word.
Podcasts awesome. Are delicious and crunchy with ketchup. Yay.
You have all the best words.
We'll get you all caught up. There we go. That's the right. So what have y'all been up to since our last podcast?
Well, I had my vocal cord surgery. So it went very well. The doctor said, you know, kind of textbook as expected, nothing seriously complicated. Although he was running late, 5.5 hours late. So it was a very, very long day and a long, long time without eating.
I hate that when they're like, don't eat. And then you're like, cool, can we have the surgery on time then? Because I'm dying now.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty bad. He initially had said, you know, I would have to be not speaking for about, you know, maybe 5 days. But then when I came out of surgery, he said no, 7 minimum. Because it really did. The polyp covered one whole side of my vocal cord. So that was an interesting challenge. I've been talking about writing about it, maybe.
Yeah, you should.
The experience of, you have no idea how much we vocalize. I mean, because it's not even just the not talking, and I have paper and we have phones and it'll be fine. But even when, like, you eat something good or you come into the air conditioning and all the, oh, and not being able to have any vocalizations was really interesting. And other people's reactions. The social experiment of, I had index cards. I had vocal cord surgery, cannot speak until Friday. And I would just hold them up everywhere I went. Like when they came out and made the grocery store and they're trying to sell me the Dish Network, or I'm out at the bar and people look at that and they go, oh, I'm sorry. And then they, like, as if they can't talk or something.
Like they're not allowed to talk now.
Right.
Are you
or they start to talk louder.
Are you familiar with the day of silence? Are you familiar with that at all? I did that every year when I was in school. It's once a year, and it's in honor of, I think Glisten and Glad Network did it originally, or like sponsored it. But the idea was, is that, like, you know, in solidarity for Saga, basically just being silent for an entire day. And I would do that once a year on the day of silence. And it was so hard. It was the worst. And then people had to tell people no ahead of time, obviously, for class and whatnot, so that, like, my teachers or professors weren't like, are you just, like, not talking to be an asshole right now?
Right.
But no, I couldn't do it for a week. Like, a day is already, it feels like a million years.
Yeah, it was very, very difficult. And there was a lot more pain than I had anticipated. Unfortunately, and it lasted a good, like, 4 days before that subsided, so to where I could just use Tylenol. But the recovery, I did have my follow-up the other day. Recovery is going well. Although I was put on antibiotics for 2 weeks, there's a little something going on in there, and I still have restrictions for exercise. I can't do anything that I couldn't just talk through. My voice still fatigues very easily, and I just have to be very careful and aware of that and not overdo it so that I don't build scar tissue on this healing area.
That's so crazy. I didn't think about that. That's the real worry, is not just it needs to heal, and it needs to heal rested. I guess it's just like if you have surgery on your foot, you don't go walking on your foot afterwards.
Right.
You got to stay off.
You don't immediately go out and, you know, jog. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And with this kind of removal on your vocal cords is really interesting. It's just a completely natural. They don't close it. There's no stitching. There's no suturing.
Oh, I guess that's
there's
true.
No nothing.
There's not really anything
because
to
they can't.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea is to get your vocal cords so they're vibrating properly again. So they cut it off, and then it's just an open wound.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I couldn't cough. I couldn't speak because it would shake loose the clotting and develop scar tissue. And if scar tissue develops, I'll be in the same position I was with my
that's
voice
crazy.
Just not working.
Man, just not coughing? Jesus.
That was really hard. They were like, don't cough. And I did once. I mean, you can't help it. You're coming out of anesthesia, right? So there's always a trying to clear. And they're like, okay, just breathe out really hard if you get that urge or take a sip of water. I'm like, yeah, this is great. but I'll be in a couple of weeks. I'm going to their vocal. I have to see their voice specialist again. So because she can see the pictures of my vocal cords and how it's going and recommend the right exercises for me to be using on a daily basis. Yeah, so been doing that. My friend Vinod took me to two cons since since I last recorded. I've been to two cons. The Heroes Con, I went to Galaxy Con, and excuse me,
what's a Galaxy Con?
They changed the name of the big con in Raleigh to Galaxy Con.
Is that because it's like they can't say, hey, it's for Star Wars nerds or Star Trek nerds? They have to like kind of like...
No, and it's not Star Wars or Star Trek. It's just, it's all the things. It's comics and games, stuff. And it used to call it something else. I looked and I got an app. They have a Galaxy Con app I picked up and you had to choose an event. So I think it's what it is. It's being managed by a place that does several cons now.
I feel like that's more and more common these days.
But they had a lot of really famous people there, like David Tennant.
David Tennant is in this show that I've been watching. It's a Rooster Teeth show, which I'll talk more about that in a minute. But David Tennant does some voice acting, and it's adorable.
Yeah. So I just kept sharking back and forth past when I knew he was coming back for a signing, just so I could get a glimpse of him. Because it's like $100 cash only to, you know, get anything signed or a picture. I'm like, oh my god. I mean, Felicia Day was only $60, but I didn't have that either. I didn't even have admission to the con. Vinod took me.
I hate it.
I saw Felicia Day, and I had a much stronger reaction than
I expected.
I've
never met her. I've always wanted to meet her. Her book is amazing. Have you read it?
I just spotted her, and I literally went, jumped.
Yeah.
Have I told you my story about Felicia Day?
Ugh, everybody's a story about Felicia Day. Ugh.
So
I want to meet her so bad.
We were at Dragon Con, and the LARP tables used to be next to the Walk of Fame, which is where all the people were, and you could go and meet them and get their autographs. And so we're just hanging out there waiting for game to start. We're all in costume. We're just kind of goobing with each other. And my friend is standing in front of one of the doors, and it comes open really quickly and like slams him in the back, and he stumbles, and then this bunch of people go through, and he was like, "God, geez, you can at least say sorry." And I was like, "That was Felicia Day." Like, Felicia Day and her people.
Her entourage.
And he was like, "She can slam me with a door any day she wants."
That's right.
Right?
No.
I did try to... I was too afraid to walk up and try to talk to her at first, which I know is kind of unlike me, but I was just, I don't know, I fangirled out. And then
did
I
tell her that you like dogs?
Because I want to ask her about how the hell I get permission. I wanted to tell her about our show.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I've been doing this podcast for 2 years, and I tweeted, and I was trying to get permission to use I'm the One That's Cool on our show, and how the hell do I do it? So I get in line, and because I'm not paying to get the selfie and the autograph, what the option I was given was to just stand there, and every time somebody was coming up to pay, I had to get behind them.
Oh.
So I'm sitting there, and I was like, somebody else comes up. Somebody, I'm like, no, I'm not doing this all day. There's plenty of stuff I can do. Vinod was, he got autographs and everything. So I was able to walk up with him and have a conversation with George Takei.
Mm.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, Vinod is, you know, kind of talk politics with him and thanking him for his voice for Asian people. And he had a copy of the new graphic novel, They Call Us Enemy, and George signed it. And he was, you know, and he was like, he was saying, Vinod, you know, as a teacher, thank you for what you do. And I said, thank you for your representation for the LGBT community and your activism. And then George went on. He got in a very passionate rant about what we're doing now, and at least when he was interred, he was with his family, and this is not America. And I realized as he was talking that we were standing in the room in the Raleigh Convention Center where I was elected to be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in 2012. And then I had to stop talking. And him and Vinod finished the conversation. We walked away because I was about to just start bawling my eyes out if I said another word. It was like really amazing. And
I really would like to meet him too. I know that he was at the Phoenix Comic Con. Phoenix Fan Fusion is what it's allowed to be called now. I know Badweave, a friend of the Diamond Club, met him there, saw him there specifically. That's why I couldn't see him that day when I was in Phoenix. So I want to so bad. I thought he was going to cancel. The big people at Phoenix always cancel. Like, this year, but the year before, I was going to get a ticket, and then, like, all the people I was interested in canceled, and I was like, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't do it. So this year, I was like, okay, of course these people are going to cancel again. And then none of them canceled. I'm like, oh, I could have done it.
I did briefly speak with Jonah Ray, MST3K fame.
Yep.
And he was really, really nice. And I kind of fangirled on that, too, because I just, like, I had in my head what I wanted to say, so I just walked up the table and I started talking really fast.
Mystery Science Theater 3000, by the way.
I thought I was being cool, like, hey, man, I just want to thank you for, like, sticking with your guns and following your dream and bringing us our show back. And, like, I used to listen to you on Nerdist from, like, day one of Nerdist, and so I just got to see you through that whole journey, and thank you so much. He was genuinely, like, he had this huge dork grin on his face. He's like, that's really good to hear. Wow, thank you. And I was like, okay, thanks, bye. And I started walking away, and he yells, enjoy your burrito!
Enjoy your burrito!
Yes! I got an enjoy your burrito in person from Jonah Ray.
That's fantastic.
Super nerdy. Okay. Also, while I couldn't speak, I did do some reading and finally caught up on some comics. That Gunning for Hits comic that I've mentioned before, that series is now done. Oh. So if you want to go get them, you can get them all. And at San Diego Comic-Con, he did release the collected graphic. I still highly recommend that book, so everybody should go get it. He is writing a book now that's actually a nonfiction book about the music industry in the 80s that the author was a part of. And then he's going to be doing another comic run after that. I finished the Lee Soon Shin comic I talked about before, about the Korean warrior. And I dug into Zero's Journey, which is, Nightmare Before Christmas Zero. The dog gets lost little comic.
I love Zero. He's like my favorite thing about the fact that I was at Disneyland when the Haunted Mansion is set up for Nightmare Before Christmas, and there's like so many spots where you get to see Zero, and he's like, he's like everywhere on the ride. It made me so happy. It's so cute. I love it.
So, Jen, are you going to go next?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. what have I been doing with my life?
I talked about it.
Job hunting. No, it's okay.
I miss talking.
Yeah. First of all, you miss talking and haven't been able to do it much at all for a while. So I get it. Yeah. And also we haven't done a podcast for a while. So, I just want to say thanks everybody for letting us life a little bit. Sometimes, you know, we try to do everything we can to like, let's just make something happen. And honestly, there's just, you know, human limits. And some of us have been at those a little bit lately. I've been job hunting, which is like the least entertaining thing on the planet. So in between that, I've been playing video games. Hooray. So I've been playing Sea of Thieves, more fucking pirate shit all day, every day. New pirate boats, new pirate outfits, new pirate music, people pirating each other. It's crazy. That game is nuts. Like, you get on there and you're just like, I'm gonna do this. It gets real sometimes. It's kind of scary and sketchy, and sometimes like there's a volcano area and there's like volcanoes going off, and you're like, sail the ship. Oh my god, this is stores of Megalodon. Oh my god, I'm gonna die. And then you're yelling at your friends because like nobody can pilot anything. Nobody knows what anybody's doing. The ship is sinking, and then it's crazy. That's kind of an intense game. It's fun. It's really, really, really fun though. It's like an adventure game, and you get to. I don't know why I find it so entertaining that I just get to, like, sail a ship and there's, like, sailing physics. Like, it's the stupidest thing if I think about it, but it is incredibly entertaining. So, kudos to them for a well-designed game. And they've been doing monthly updates, so that's cool, too, because hopefully they'll be... there's, like, cool story, and then they've been adding kind of more things every month, and I was... not terribly hopeful, because last month they're like, we're going to do monthly updates. And then sure enough, like August 1st, like, okay, we're here for a monthly update. This one's going to go away, and we're going to do some other new stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe they are actually going to keep updating things. So it's been pretty much that. I was on, so Cross, Alex Albisu, who is on our podcast, I was on Joystick and Mouse, which is his podcast, talking about video games. That was pretty fun. I've been crocheting again, which is weird. I feel like
you inspired me, by the way. I pulled this out. It's my book of crochet blocks.
Yes.
So this is all different types of granny squares.
Yeah, well, because like it was one of those things where I haven't done it in so long. Like it has literally barely been 20 years since I've touched a crochet hook. Actually, that's really terrifying. It may have actually been that long. Maybe more like 15, but still, that's a long time. But it's weird how once you start doing it, it kind of comes back. It is absolutely muscle memory because yeah. I can find myself watching shows while doing it. And, so that's been fun. I'm kind of trying to challenge myself and do some different stitches though, beyond just like the normal stuff and work on a project. So I'm doing that. So Rooster Teeth, I've always been, you know, familiar with them because of Red versus Blue, but recently a friend of mine's been like, showing me all the other stuff that they have going on, like the series that's been out for, I guess, 6 years now called Ruby, which is four chicks, and it's super adorable, and the characters are amazing, and I've fallen in love with them, and the show made me cry, so, you know, anytime a YouTube series show can make me cry, I guess it's usually a good sign. So I watched through all of those, and now I get to wait till like November till the next season comes out. So now I'm
that was stressed. The one started by Monty Ohm, I believe.
That's right. And he passed after the second season.
And
he passed
away, and then they had a very long, serious conversation and decided to continue it.
Right, because they had his story laid out already. Exactly.
Oh, did
exactly.
They? Okay, I thought that had ended.
No. So in his honor, they did. They have continued it because they had the story already laid out anyway. Gotcha. And then,
I have to go back in.
Yeah. And what's really cool is that Rooster Teeth also, does another series called Genlock, which I started watching. I'm not very far in yet. The first episode's on YouTube. The other ones you have to get from the Rooster Teeth website. Michael B. Jordan plays the main character or voices the main character, and David Tennant voices a character on the show as well. As well as, oh my god, Maisie, why can't I remember her last name right now? Arya from Game of Thrones. Why is her last name? Oh, it's escaping me. Oh!
Yeah, now I can't think of it either. Thanks, Jen.
I know.
You infected me.
Is it Maisie Williams? Is it Maisie Williams? I could Google it.
Right.
Is it Maisie? I think it is. I think
Maisie?
It is. And then.
That's a girl who has no name?
Yeah.
Yeah, a girl has no name. And also, Dakota Fanning, of all people, I think, is another person who does a voice on the show. But that was pretty exciting. So that was really cool. I love David Tennant, so that's like just like a fun little bonus, and his character's a little crazy. So just started watching that, pretty excited about it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is Maisie Williams. Okay, yeah. See, and I remember Rooster Teeth Red versus Blue, but they've been doing all this stuff for a long time, and I had no idea, and... their stuff is pretty polished and way more impressive than I even thought. So I've been doing a lot of that, watching all that stuff, catching up on all the shows that I never watched. You know, all that kind of fun stuff that you do when you're unemployed. So, Linda, what have you been up to?
Well, first I got a haircut. For those of you that are with us, My long to the shoulder locks are gone. I actually got a bob. So
I was wondering if your hair was pulled back or not. Wow, it looks so good.
Yeah. So it's a nice, like, short in the back. I don't have it.
So comfortable.
I love doing that.
I don't have it laying on my neck.
Oh, I miss
so
it.
So nice.
I had a cute one like that. I miss it.
Let's see. I've been playing.
I don't look anywhere near that good in a bob.
I'm sure you look fine.
It's our round faces.
It muffins.
Linda and I have
out.
The more overly.
It's so thick
round
when it's
faces.
Short, it puffs out in this giant triangle. Yeah.
I've been playing so much Slime Rancher. I've logged about 64 hours.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't believe you still play that.
I love it, okay? Oh, I've finished the story arc, and now I'm just like. I have automated my farm. I'm going and getting all of the achievements. I now understand the addiction to getting achievements. I'm doing all like the extra stuff. I downloaded the DLC to like give your slimes new skins so that they're all like different and really cute. I mean, they're already cute, but. Like, the tabbies now look like little tigers. It's so adorable.
Aww. It's okay. I spent 10 hours getting a fishing pole in Sea of Thieves, so it's fine. I get it.
And I have no room. That Lord's Mobile game that our former host, Chris, got me hooked on.
Oh,
I
yeah.
played it until the game shut down. It yeah. doesn't exist
there
anymore.
Are some things that are just fun.
Every day.
Yep. I've been doing lots of crocheting. I have finished my pink diamond. It's all done. Da-da-da. She's all set to go. Got my wig and everything and my shoes. And I've been testing makeup. So for those of you that are live with us, if you can see my pinks are my lips are a really bright fuchsia pink. My pinks. My pinks. On my face.
That is the worst part is, isn't that like a euphemism for nipples at one point? Like, I feel like in the
remember.
Like early 1900s, pinks were... I'm pretty sure. That's okay.
That it's probably cool. Not on your face so much. Well,
either that or your hoo-ha. I can't remember.
I don't know, but I definitely feel like it was a euphemism for something.
Euphemism or something. But I've been doing makeup testing for all of my cosplays, so that's why I've got super fuchsia lips right now. I watched all of Stranger Things Season 3. That was really, really good. I am figuring out the rest of my cosplay lineup for Dragon Con now, because the big one is done. So I just need to, like, figure out what I want to wear and finish off the little bits.
I didn't see the follow-up. Did you answer? I was not able to guess what your cosplay was from the items you picked up.
Oh, that's because I haven't finished the item yet, but I can go ahead and tell you. I'm doing Galadriel, and I'm doing her big old brooch.
Oh, awesome. Yay.
So
I thought of her, but I was...
Yeah, I basically bought a big round shiny and some, like, filigree-looking, what is it called, like, appliques, because just... The jewelry making section didn't have what I needed, so it's just like, I'm just going to jerry rig this. It'll be fine. And I just went from there.
I'm trying to remember. Is her brooch like, it's like a big round thing that she wears here with like silver around
yeah,
it, like filigree?
It's,
okay.
And I'm doing the Galadriel from The Hobbit, so it's different
than the
one in Lord of the Rings. But yeah, it's a big round like pearl. Or kind of an oblong pearl, but I could only find a round gem, so that's what I picked up. And then, like, it's got silver filigree coming off of it.
Yeah, from the picture of the filigree, I was, like, trying to guess, and I thought of Galadriel, and I thought of Sylvanas, but I was like, she doesn't play WoW. I don't know, it's probably not Sylvanas.
Yeah. I already have her crown, and I've got a ring that will work for her little flower ring. So I was just like, I don't have to make this brooch, but I have that weird drive that even, like, very quickly thrown together cosplays should be as accurate as possible. So, here we go! Mm-hmm. less than 3 weeks away, and let's get this done.
I want to cosplay so bad. Like, watching Ruby makes me want to cosplay every single one of the characters. Like, the characters are designed perfectly for cosplay, and there's, like, four of them where I'm like, I would cosplay that! I would cosplay the shit out of that! I would cosplay that so hard! Like, and I want a battle skirt now. Like, my entire life, I never realized my entire life has been has been pale without a battle skirt in my life. Side note, I need one. Galadriel is such a cool character. That's awesome.
So my lineup is Thursday. I'm doing Hufflepunk, which is basically simple, like it's a closet cosplay almost. I'm doing Pink Diamond on Friday. Saturday, I'm doing one of the Daughters of Triton, my Andrina, because that is Aquarium Night at Dragon Con. So we're all going to go to the aquarium and be mermaids, me and my cosplay group.
I still think they have the weirdest names, some of them. Isn't like one of them Crustacea or something?
They're all A names.
Okay. I feel like they all have really weird names.
They do. Mine is Andrina.
That's a really weird name.
And then Sunday is Galadriel, and Monday is just going to be... Either I'm going to do a closet cosplay of Arazaphale, or just normal clothes.
Wouldn't that just be bounding?
Kind of.
Well, there's Hufflepuff, and then the Hufflepunk is always fun. Like, Hufflepuff solidarity. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I always love the Hufflepunk outfits. I need to make one. I don't know where I'd wear it to. I don't know what I would wear it to, but I need to make one.
I just wear it around.
I was going to wear it around my house.
Yeah.
My dog. Hey, look, check out my Hufflepunk.
I couldn't talk, and I was all, like, giddy. Or, no, like, the first day I could talk, I think it was, I was all giddy. And I hardly bound. I put my hair in pigtails. I had, like, one red makeup eye and one black makeup eye. And I was just, like, walking around the house, putting makeup on, being goofy as hell.
Totally like, want to go grocery shopping now and, just, like, not say anything about it. I'm being full outfit. And then just not say anything about it and just do really mundane things like go into the post office, go to the DMV.
Was, one of our viewers has recommended you go shopping in it.
Yeah, see? And, I love it.
Thank you. I had looked up the name of the ring, but I couldn't remember it. It's Ninja is the name of Galadriel's ring. Thank you.
I always forget that it's Tolkien and there's a name for everything.
Of course there is.
our friend Sephiroth II in the chat is my co-host on Heresy and Hearsay, and he's the biggest Lord of the Rings fan I know.
I know. We've had him on the show. We had some good...
We did
talk some Tolkien for sure. It's like, love it. Love it. Oh my gosh.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, we've been busy.
Are we caught up?
Maybe. Do we get enough catch up? I'm good.
Okay. So now it's time for the Geek Grapevine.
Cruise team, assemble! Geek Grills Grapevine.
Alright, so we're keeping it short for today's Grapevine, just because I knew, or we knew, it was going to take a little while to get caught up. So I found this one, of course it's from for the ocean, so you know I'm the one that found it. They have recently, and I say recently because I think I got this like a couple weeks ago,
July 22nd. Not too far back. That's pretty good.
They have found a 500-year-old shipwreck.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And they were able to use their new state-of-the-art robots to take really, really good pictures of it. It's, I believe it's a Swedish ship, if I'm not mistaken.
That's remarkable that it's preserved that well under the ocean.
The ship is contemporary to the times of Christopher Columbus and Leonardo da Vinci, yet it demonstrates a remarkable level of preservation after 500 years at the bottom of the sea thanks to the cold, brackish waters of the Baltic. Holy crap.
Salt water, man.
Holy crap.
Well, and it's not being oxidized, you know?
Nope.
So,
yeah, like, all the masts are still intact, the hull's intact.
That's crazy.
I mean, obviously...
Think of how much information there is in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to get an idea of, like, because we have, like, drawings and pictures and designs for ships at that time, but how many intact ships do you have from that time to really, like, see what they look like in actuality?
Yeah, so they dated the ship earlier than, a warship called Mars, which was sunk in 1564.
Holy crap.
And Henry VIII's Mary Rose. So it's earlier than that, at least, which is 1510.
That's fucking mind-boggling.
The pictures are really amazing. It's just, it's so, like, crisp, the pictures of it. I almost, like, the first one I thought was computer generated.
Right? Like, how they got that much light.
It's a robots, man. That's cool. I like it.
Yep.
That's a good article.
They're going to try to, like, keep it as intact as possible when they're, you know, trying to learn about it. But it'll be interesting because the moment you bring something up, it starts...
Mm-hmm.
It starts the oxidation process, and you rapidly lose integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
I was going to say, yeah, you just leave it down there. I feel like that's almost the best thing to do.
I mean, they've got such good imaging technology that they might be able to do that.
They
now.
Can practically recreate it and probably print and can even like 3D print parts of it too.
Mm-hmm.
In scale, of course, but yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. That's really crazy.
Cool story. Thanks, Linda.
All right. So, that is your news. Oceans are fun. Oceans are cool. I like the ocean. I should probably play Subnautica. Anyway, we're going to move on to our discussion topic, which is the death of print. And we mean, you know, paper printing and all that good stuff.
Question mark.
Question mark. There's a question mark. So what brought this on, I believe, was it you, Jen, or was it Ember? Was it that found the
Jen?
Yeah,
that magazine is going out of print.
Yeah, so I was doing a temp job, and I randomly, like, on my lunch break, was like, "Oh my God, Mad Magazine! What, Ember? We should talk about this on podcast." so yeah, I mean, Mad Magazine has been around since 50 something, right? I can't even remember. It's been so friggin' long. But the point is that they are not continuing. You know, we've had a shit ton. They've been around for forever. But they're just not going to continue in the same fashion. I think they're going to be doing some limited run things, like a reduced printing, like quarterly, I think, for a couple years or
something.
They're
going to be doing reprints, is what
that's
I
right.
read.
Okay, that's what I was trying. I was trying to find a good article that actually talks about it without just being the entire history of Mad Magazine, which is apparently what most articles are. I did include one from the New Yorker, though, which I thought was a really great read. So the one that I will be in the show notes is definitely worth checking out. But it made me think, like, Mad Magazine is something I remember just being a staple in existence, you know? Oddly enough, I think it started around the same time as Playboy, so it's kind of like a similar thing where, like, these are things that we see. Cosmo Magazine, that's a conversation, like, oh, Cosmo Magazine is a thing that people know of. If you reference it now, though, I don't know that kids today would know what that joke means.
I think Alfred E. Newman is, like, embedded in pop culture pretty hard, and there's still, I think, enough of us that remember that you can... People go, what's that? You know, but not, I can't think of anyone unless they're under, I don't know. I guess under 30, maybe people wouldn't know.
67 maybe. Years in print, though. 67
yeah,
1952
years. They were founded. Their peak circulation was in 1974, though, which is surprising to me.
It doesn't surprise me because, like, there wasn't a lot. You didn't have a lot of other options back at that time, though, right? Like, I mean, as far as distraction print media, but, I mean, I guess I think about it now, like, who gets the newspaper anymore? Do people still get the newspaper? I don't even know. Do newspapers
know
still
one,
make newspapers?
I arrive at my house on Sundays sometimes, but I don't use it.
For a while. I used to just get the Sunday for the coupons.
I get magazines.
My friend... I do have a friend I was just talking to last night, Paul, who reads the paper, like, a couple papers every day.
See, I used to do that when I was in college because the newspapers would always be available at the library, the circulation desk. There'd be a current publication every day would be put into the library, and I worked at the library. So I would read, I remember reading the newspaper, several newspapers every day. And then that made me want to get the newspaper myself. So for my first few years after college, this is like 15 years ago, I read the newspaper. But gosh, I don't know, since then, I definitely have it.
It's
I still get magazines,
that it was 15
though.
Years ago. Because I was just going to say, about 15 years ago, I just started only buying the paper when I was in it.
Yeah. Like when there's something, something interesting.
Well, I guess so heavily involved in politics, and then like they try to sell you the paper. It's like, nah, I only buy it one minute.
Yeah,
because it was in it a lot.
That's fair. No, that's a fair point.
Or my kids are in it.
But like now, I mean, I get magazines still like a little bit, but I don't even get as many as I used to because most of the time the magazines are like, here's this article. Also, if you want to hear more, go to our website.
Yeah.
If you want to read more, go to our website. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like if you look at a Cosmo now, it's like, I don't know why I get sent Cosmopolitan. I don't actually subscribe to Cosmopolitan magazine, but somehow I receive it. I didn't really complain.
With a cooking magazine for a while.
Yeah, well, it got weird when I got parenting magazine. That one was real weird because, like, I'm like, I got no kids. Okay,
yeah,
like that's just real weird. But
the only magazines I buy now are like I have some. Like I got when Bowie passed, there was a Memorial Vanity Fair. I've got an Obama Vanity Fair, like kind of just collector memorial ones. The last thing I actually had, a magazine that I had a subscription to was Canadian Living. And it was a gift from my mother-in-law for years.
Or when there's really cool nerd stuff on the cover, then you also get it too.
Oh, well, yeah, I get that.
This one had, this was a Marvel cover with the Avengers on the front. And yeah, I mean, I had to get it cause it's gorgeous.
I get that. That's Game Informer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I get it because
I just get that as part of my,
exactly, as part of the thing
membership.
But what's crazy is that when you get magazines now, you know, they've always had samples and stuff in there. Like they've gotten crazy. There's like ones that are like entire pages of like samples. And I feel like it's like, they're like, we need a reason to send this crap to people. but honestly, I remember I used to always get Rolling Stone magazine regularly because like
when
covers.
I was a teenager, I subbed to Rolling Stone for years and I used to keep all the covers, like,
yeah,
I had
me
a
too.
Whole box of just their covers.
Oh yeah, no, I did too. I liked the covers. They're always so great. They're always so good. And like,
well, and Rolling Stone also had incredible journalism. They always have had the most amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They had one of the best pieces early on in the AIDS epidemic. Holy, like, yeah.
Now, see, okay, so, but, like, think about it from today, right? Okay, you have kids that are all younger in the world. Do they have any print media that they, like, interact with?
Other than the Game Informer?
Yeah, no. See, like, I like magazines because I can touch them and flip through them.
If there's a game they play and it's on the cover, they go, okay, let me see that. Otherwise, they don't even open that.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I'm saying. It's weird.
The school does some things I know they've had where, like, here's a newspaper. Here's how to tell propaganda from news.
Right?
And they do those exercises, and I like that they have that.
So they do fake news. They do, like, fake news exercises?
Sort of.
That makes me
happy,
actually.
It's just like
how to
tell propaganda, how to tell an ad from a factual article.
That's good, because there's things in here where I have gotten confused a few times, because they're so good. And I'm like, I am not a dumb person at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, holy crap, that was an ad? And it's like 3 pages later, you realize this entire article is basically an advertisement that they paid for. And I'm like, oh, shit, cool.
I detest that.
I know, I do too. Yeah, that's weird, because I guess I just, I like the touch of a magazine, though. I guess I still like that, like, feeling of, like, flipping through a magazine, even if it's stupid shit, and looking at the pictures. I don't know. I feel like I don't get the same feeling from a phone.
And books is another one. Like,
yeah.
Switching to digital.
Yeah. I've had a really hard time, because I don't feel like I'm reading for real when I'm on my Kindle. I love the fact that I can haul 14,000 books with me because I think I want to read that book and I go on vacation and I in fact don't want to read that book. I want to read a different one and it's fine because I can scroll to that.
You know,
other
another
book.
another thing, not just on Kindle, is like Audible. Audiobooks are a big thing.
Well, see, I do the audiobooks way more often because of my eye. I can't read a regular book for very long, so. That's why I got into Audible, but I hear a lot of other people that don't even have, like, vision issues like me just are into doing audiobooks instead now.
Yeah. I never have been able to get into it. As much as I am a huge NPR and podcast junkie, audiobooks, I just I can't.
If they don't have a good voice actor, they just put me to sleep. Honestly, though, like if the voice acting is not, or if the narrator is bad,
and I will like just, radio plays,
I'll just be like.
And here's the thing that why I don't actually have like Audible. My husband has Audible, but I don't have Audible is because if it is something that I have never heard before, I will tune into it completely. I cannot do the my hands are doing something different while my ears are listening. And that actually is what happens when I read as well. I get so into the book that I completely go into my own head. I have, you know, memories of my mom like coming up and touching my shoulder and being like, hey, I've been calling your name. Stop reading and come help me with this. And it's, you know, it's the same with TV. If it's something that it's completely new to me, I can't multitask, which is interesting. Once I have heard something, like, you know, something on YouTube, somebody playing a game, I can have that in the background and look up and know what's going on and know, you know, what I have missed. But if I'm focused on something that is completely new to me, I can't do anything else, which kind of defeats the purpose of Audible.
Yeah. I'm very much getting used to using my Kindle to read books. I did it with Redwall. I've done it with Tom Merritt's books. I've done it with the other.
I did it with that shitty series. Remember the dumb Supernatural series that I was reading that was not good, but yet I had to finish it. By the way, she wrote 2 new books.
Oh no!
I was so fucking pissed. Amazon's like, by the way, since you loved these, and I'm like, didn't love them though. I didn't love them. I just read them.
I tried to post some links, and Nightbot kicked him.
Oh no!
Sorry about that. Nightbot is strict.
It's only 5-second timeout. It'll be fine. I will. Mod him or something, and that will stop. So what I was going to say was I'm going to purposely switching to the Kindle. I literally have hundreds of books. Hundreds. Like, wall-to-wall shelves my husband had to build, floor-to-ceiling, full of books, and then books stacked in front of those books, if they fit. And I just, like, I can't keep buying physical books. Once in a while, I find a cookbook I can't resist, but, you know. That happens. So, okay, Jen took care of that.
Yeah, he was posting a link of Weird Al Yankovic's tweet about Mad Magazine. Said, I'm profoundly sad to hear after 67 years, Mad Magazine is ceasing publication. I can't begin to describe the impact it had on me as a young kid. It's pretty much the reason I turned out weird. Goodbye to one of the all-time greatest American institutions. That's cool. I can totally see that too.
And the other thing I love, love, love about digital books is I have kids, and you have to buy a couple of books a year for them to read and, you know, have for school, and you can never get the damn list at the beginning of the year, and then, you know, eventually you get it. They get it ahead of time, but it doesn't always make it to me. Mm-hmm. And I get about 300 emails a day, so maybe sometimes I miss it. But I end up, it's like, oh, I need that book today or yesterday, right? And a lot of the schools read the same books at the same time. So you can't even really get the library rescue anymore. But I can go click, click, click.
I just wish they were...
have it on Amazon, and they can access it on their computer for school.
I just wish they were a little bit cheaper. Sometimes it frustrates me. I feel like it's frustrating when I'm paying the same amount, or sometimes more, for a Kindle edition of a book than the physical book. And that really pisses me off, because I'm like, I know that people need to get paid for this, and I want to support authors, and I want to support everybody. At the same time, dude, you're not printing anything. You're sending fucking bits across the internet.
True.
So other than the marketing,
the storage
and all that,
is there.
Yeah, but
I
the
see
marketing
that as a value
that,
add. You have it forever and ever and ever, and you don't have to worry.
No,
about
No, you
it
have it
destroyed.
As long as Amazon exists. Just like I have WoW Pets, as long as WoW exists. Let's be honest.
Well, if you're really, really worried, Jen,
I need to download them all.
You download them and then print them.
Yeah, you psychopath lady. No, I've had a hard time with this because I've been
in
school.
Like, you purchased the rights. Actually, I ran into this last week. Okay. We bought The Hunger. I used to have it on VHS. And was, Rob's like, "But we got to replace this. We got to replace this." So we bought a DVD of The Hunger. It arrived, and I put it in the TV, in the Xbox, and it wouldn't play because of the copyright protection not being compatible. The smart TV was too smart for the to go through HDMI, and it would not play the DVD as if we didn't have, as if it were pirated or something, because it was like a European copy. So I was able to bring it upstairs and put it in my like older TV that has a built-in DVD player, and it played there just fine. But that, even though I had bought the rights to this, the technology changed, and it was like, I told you so, because when Rob suggests we buy it, I was like, why don't we just buy it digitally? Because then we have it forever. Be able to access it, you know, and
you're right.
If Amazon goes out of business, they'll probably to make some kind of deal where they store that stuff because we bought the rights to it.
Yeah, and also I'm just being a little bit, you know, devil's advocate there with that comment, of course. I mean, I don't really see Amazon going under anytime soon, for Christ's sake. I had 7 Amazon packages show up this week because I buy my groceries there. So but
they might get broken up though.
Who knows? It's true. The one thing that gets me is that, by the way, thanks, Amazon, since we're streaming on Twitch right now. You own the shit out of this. That's cool. Thanks. being in school, I find it really hard for me. I find it very difficult for me to read my textbooks in ebook form. They're all available in ebook now, and it frustrates me. Even with a digital highlighter, I can't engage with the text the way I normally do when I'm writing a paper. I want to highlight stuff. I want to underline. I want to write a note in the margin. You can't do that.
I can.
Well, you can on your Kindle, but I'm saying the ebook, the way that some of these ebooks are available is through a particular publisher. And if the class uses a publisher I like that has those tools, then great. Mm. But if they don't, I literally am basically dealing with reading the equivalent of a fucking PDF, and I'm trying to take information. So what I end up doing is paying a lot of money to print out the pages. But then there's limitations. Some of the digital ones that I have, you can only print 20 up to 20% of the content, or you can only download 20% of the content. You have to be online to access it. And I get that they need to protect their brand and protect all that, and it's a business and whatnot. But it is really frustrating because I realize I need that. I have a hard time learning without it being. I need to write it. Even just typing a note in that spot or whatever is not the same for me. It has to be a note. So what I've had to start doing, and what I've been doing for the last several times I've taken classes, is I have a notebook and I literally am writing notes by hand into a notebook because it's the only way that I can feel like I'm engaging. So I'm there with my laptop, reading off of my laptop like it's a book, and then writing notes because I need
different. People learn different ways, and that would, because that's what I was going to say, like, there's another, the value add of being able to highlight or being able to grab a footnote, like, right there in the page where the footnote, instead of having to go to the back of the book, I love that.
That's true.
When I come across a word I don't know, being able to just boop, and it goes to the internet, and, you know,
but here's the
dictionary. I love
then I get that answer
so
right away. And the funny thing is, part of the reason I have such a good vocabulary is because growing up, whenever there was a word I didn't know, I would underline it, I would look it up, I would come back, and I would write the definition of it next to the word in the margin. So I have a ton of books in my collection where people would be like, what the fuck are these notes? And I'm like, yeah, well, I take notes in the margins, fuck you.
No,
in pencil, always. But I learned words.
It took me so long to figure out how to shut the hell off on my Kindle.
Yeah.
I get a brand new book. I just bought this book. It's got underlining in the Kindle, in the digital version. And it shows me
what
how
other
many
people have
underlined,
like,
that
who
passage.
Else upperlined it. And I'm like, I don't need to know that other people underline this.
Oh,
don't
so
crowdsource my fucking underlines, bro. Let me just underline my shit without you. Leave me alone. No, I'm with you on that.
Like,
but
it's kind of interesting. Like, I wonder,
sometimes.
It's a really high number, and I'm like, all right, some college class read this book.
Well, when I'm reading a self-help book, it really cracks me up because it's, like, always the same thing where I'm just like, it's so true. Oh, 1,500 people have done the same thing. Oh, cool. I feel less alone right now. That's cool. Ah, man.
So you get
I don't
to
know.
Underline things without defacing books. Yay.
Yeah, but I used to always use a nice number two pencil, super sharp number two pencil all the time because I'm a fucking nerd.
No, but I totally get to because I'm that kind of learner. We're taking notes. If I need to retain information.
Sometimes I don't even go back to the notes, but I just remember it better because I took notes.
Yeah, that's where the way I am. If I don't write it down, I will have no reference and it'll just go away. But if I write it down, for some reason, my brain latches onto that. Like, I remember writing that word.
Yeah, no, I'd be like,
kids are doing so little of that. They're typing everything. They're doing so little writing.
And do they learn it better? But do they learn it that way? And do they do visual a lot more?
I don't know.
I mean,
I wonder.
We're not seeing everybody failing at school all the time because they can't retain anything because they've moved this way.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anybody talking about those kind of statistics. Maybe it will in the future. But more and more schools definitely are just, they have a one-for-one. Every kid is issued a Chromebook or an Apple, book or whatever.
Let me ask this question, because this is something that it's kind of tangentially related, and I think it's in the same vein. One of the things that I've experienced is where I want to find out information, I want to learn something, I want to guide to something, and more often than not, the only thing available is a fucking video. And I don't want a video. The video is useless to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch your video. The video, and even when you tell me the information, I don't want to have to sit there and I need it to just write it out. I want to write out. Like, I think about, like, with WoW, right? WoW Classic is coming out, and all I keep thinking is, oh, yeah, Icy Veins, give it to me. Where's my walkthrough? Where's my suggestion? Where's my rotation list? You know, all that. But then, like, I hang out with people that are, like, in their 20s, and they're all like, oh, hey, cool. Well, yeah, there was a video on that. Here, watch this video. And I'm like, I don't fucking watch this video. Just tell me how to do the thing. Like, just give me the words. And I guess that's part of the, like, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but, like, I don't do, man, I don't know. I guess maybe we just,
I will say, I have a slightly, like, different, it's the same view, but it's for a slightly different, topic. Yeah, I guess you call it topic. But whenever I find crochet patterns.
Yeah, well, that's exactly when it came up again recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh! It's like, I came to your blog because I thought you wrote the pattern out, but you're just sending me to a video.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to sit in front of my computer. I want a written version so I can either copy it down or I can print it, and then I can take it with me wherever I go.
See, and that's exactly where I am, too. I want to be able to take it with me, too.
What you guys are saying brought to mind, because I know you've seen this meme, right, where you're looking for a recipe online. Because these are the books I mentioned earlier. I am still buying cookbooks when I come across them, because fucking cookbook, you open the fucking cookbook and get the fucking recipe.
Yeah, I don't want to watch some video where you tell me how to make some shit.
The recipe. You look at the recipe online, and it's, I moved to Timbuktu in 14, of June in the 80s, and I met this person, and you've got, like, a fucking six-page essay.
I know 15 facts about your dogs, but I still don't know how to make a fucking pot roast.
The recipe. Can I have that, please?
Yeah. I just want to know how to make tomato sauce.
Because people won't buy it, or people will just throw it away.
Yeah, man.
see, that is definitely a different thing, right? Where we want that in print form. It's nice to be able to organize your recipes online and digitally and whatnot. But how often are you bringing a device? I don't want my cell phone's gonna get all grubby and grimy. More often than not, I want to print out that recipe and then take it into the kitchen with me, or I have a recipe card that's like laminated, or
like
want more of it though. I would love to have a smart device that I felt was food safe or like food proof kitchen. So I would like Alexa to help me with this. Sorry out there, folks. Oops. But I seriously, like, somebody needs to make this app. When I'm cooking, I want to be able to say, hey, you can ask for a recipe. She'll email it to you if she finds one. She'll recite it to you. But I want an app where I can say, hey, I just put in a cup of this. Hey, I just added a teaspoon of this. And it takes my recipe down for me when I have messy hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I literally had, yesterday, I was making chili. And I walked away for a second because the chili has to simmer for like an hour. And I walked away to do something. I come back. The cat has knocked over my drink. And my cookbook is soaked. Fortunately, it was just the dust sleeve. I forgot what it's called there for a second. It was just the dust sleeve, and I don't care about dust sleeves. And I was just like, oh, okay, the book is fine. It's just the bottom of it took the brunt of it, and I was able to toss that out. If that had been my phone,
yeah.
Well, some people use like literally like a plastic sleeve that you put your device in. It's the same thing that they use when they want to use their phone in the shower, which, by the way, I didn't realize that that's a thing. That no. People need to have shower. People have shower curtains where you put your phone in on the other side, no. And it's clear so that you can use your phone when you're in the shower. Yeah. By the
Why
way, this
do you
is
need
a thing.
Shower phone.
This is, but people need shower beers. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not really into those either. But like,
because Cam.
Oh, look at me! I'm shampooing. Oh, like I don't know. I don't need it.
Make a living that way.
It's true. That's true. Probably not a very good living, though.
I think it really is. They're selling them to just addicts who can't get off their phone.
No, but the sleeves, though, are kind of an interesting idea, though. If you could put your phone in a sleeve that was, like, nice and tactile that didn't cause problems, because then you could do stuff on your phone. But I don't know about you, but anytime I try those kind of sleeve things, you know, if it's not a really good cover, you can't slide your foot around, you know, like, or your foot, your finger. I'm using my foot on my phone. Maybe that's a problem. No, but you like your finger doesn't like connect properly and your phone doesn't register that you did it. But yeah, man, I guess I like the old school laminated recipe cards. They can get wet and dirty and gross. And like, I've got ones that I've used for cookies for 8 million years, but they're
See,
good.
I kind of love that though. Like there are recipes, like when I pick up the Kitchen Witches cookbook, I can find that page really easily with the witches. That's with the cheesy herb bread. One. I've made it so many times. Like the dirtiest pages in your grandma's cookbook are the best things in
there. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom and I have this cookbook that she got that went out of print like in the 70s, and it's funny, you can tell that it's like that old because it has recipes for, like, how to use your microwave recipes, because, like, the microwave was a new thing, so they needed recipes for it.
Right.
So there's a section in the book for that. But that book has the best chicken curry recipe ever. And so, like, my mom being my mom, that was the wedding gift that she gave me, was she found a copy of it and got me a copy of it because she knew that I was always like, I need your recipe, because there was a chicken curry recipe. There were like 5 or 6 recipes in that random ass cookbook that were really great, and it was completely out of print. So I guess that standpoint, it's nice.
I will say I do like the Tasty app. Like, all those recipes are all online, and I do like that because that's a really good way for me to, like, find new recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I found 2 dishes that I make constantly now that are, like, my husband's favorites.
I use all recipes a lot myself.
I think I use, is that the one with the spoon? The yellow, yep, that's the one I use because I lose them.
That's where I found that Kimmel Roll recipe.
Well, because I lose them otherwise. And also, All Recipes puts it into a format that I can put into my Fitness Pal.
You can print it really easily.
And you can save it, and you can also put it in a CV file? No, CSV file. The one that goes into Excel. You can do that, CSV. And then on top of it, it comes out in a format that I can put directly into my Fitness Pal. Which is nice if I'm tracking, when I'm tracking my eating, I can do it very easily. So I guess what I'm saying out loud is maybe I do kind of like the digital stuff a lot more. There are some nice things
now,
about
comics
it.
Is another, to get to something nerdy in this topic.
See, I use Comixology.
I can't.
Exclusively.
Rob reads them digitally.
I only use Comixology. I can't. I like it because you can do the frame-to-frame. They have the frame-to-frame technology where you don't even go, you're not even looking at a whole page. When it was a whole page, I couldn't do it. But now Comixology has had this thing for the last several years where you go and it literally takes you from frame to frame to frame to frame.
That's
and I
cool.
really, really,
I didn't know
that's
that.
How I do it because I can't,
That would just be stretching bigger and smaller. Yeah, and that's smaller, really, that was, my Kindle's smaller than annoying. A comic. Yeah. And I do love having, like, my bags and boards, right? And yeah. issue somebody can
see,
sign.
Like the way it feels, like me and magazines, man. I like the way they feel. I like to flip through the pages and.
I mean, yeah, having actual paper books for your favorite author to sign is really cool.
That's true.
But I really need to calm down with the comics and produce because I'm not keeping up with reading them.
I like that you're just like, as a person, I need to calm down on the comics.
No, for real, though. Comics, though. So I guess
it's getting out of hand. It's costing more than I can afford, and I have a big pile I haven't read, and that's not justifiable. I don't want to be that person where I'm just putting them in a box. So I'm looking at cutting a few subs, although I have a few things that are ending, like Gunning for Hits ended, Doomsday Clock is ending, Zero's Journey is a limited series. So some of that's going to help itself. I just have to not subscribe to anything else. But I will consider Comixology, because that's something like Rob and I could share. I know he has access to one thing that has a lot of freely accessible comics on it without paying a sub.
I just realized, did Amazon buy Comixology too, I think?
Hmm?
Doesn't Amazon own Comixology? I just realized that. I think they bought them too. Fuck, Amazon. Everything. Almighty Amazon, my friends. Almighty Amazon. Yep, they do, in fact. All right, confirmed. Comixology owned by Amazon. They took over Goodreads, which is how I used to find new books to read all the time.
Yeah.
But I actually
it. I love Goodreads,
too.
Like, getting suggestions from my friends.
Yep. I can see my friends. And actually, I have a couple authors on there that I followed back when Goodreads was, like, new. And back when, like, authors would, like, let people follow them. So I like it. But, yeah, Amazon bought Goodreads, which is why it's, like, so easy to get... to like Amazon's like, hey, this was a book you're interested in. Remember that? Buy this.
Really? Yeah. They don't tend to bother me too much.
Amazon is all up in my business. I let them be all up in my business, though, I guess. That's kind of my fault.
Yeah, sometimes you get a super. I love that Daniel Post pointed out that you can't use Silly Putty on your phone.
No, you can't use Silly Putty on your phone. See, the kids will never know.
I have no idea what that even means.
Kids will never know that you could transfer images from a newspaper with Silly Putty.
Silly Putty.
How will they do paper mache if there's no paper to paper mache with?
Oh, we can't lose paper mache.
I mean, really, what is your ferret going to poop on if you don't have newspapers anymore? How will you start your compost?
Well, you have to buy those, like, training pads now, right?
Oh, I do that for my dog.
You can't buy training pads and make a pinata out of it. Prohibitively expensive.
Or extra, you know, just extra bedding. Well, on that note, if y'all out there have ideas on what we could use for paper mache when all the newspapers go away, you can chime in by emailing us at geekgirls@gmail.com, or you can give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at geekgirls. So what are y'all most anticipating coming up?
Well, on Tuesday evening, I believe, but I don't know, we might move it to morning, I don't know. Sometime on Tuesday, I will also be back on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. Yay! Looking forward to that. With the events of this weekend, Reverend Barney and I will be talking about mass shootings. Mm. So tune in to my channel, twitch.tv 9 of 12.
Are you referring to Gilroy or something else?
Seriousness, or look us up online.
Was there something other than Gilroy?
Yeah. There was one in Ohio and one in El Paso yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like within 24 hours of each other.
I've been out of the news cycle. The Gilroy one really got me, just as a side note. Like, I had a good thoughts and everything to the families there. I went to the Gilroy Garlic Festival several times growing up because I lived in Central Valley, California. So that was just a thing. And for something like that to happen, an event that I have, like, fond childhood memories of is kind of, was a little bit unsettling. It was, like, not a location where if somebody asked me and said, hey, an event that you have been to before will have a shooting, I would have never picked that. That would have been probably the very last thing I would have possibly ever said ever. So That's just crazy to me. Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
I'm sorry for those. Oh, man. That's. Well, I look forward to hearing your discussion.
So I wanted to say I'm also still paying for my surgery, and now I have to see this voice expert some more, and I need another follow-up with the surgeon because things aren't healing quite as fast as he expected. So I do still need help out there, folks, if you don't mind, and you have a couple bucks to pitch in, go to tinyurl.com/help9.
Shekels, share them. Yeah, we need her to keep her voice. It's a little hard to do this.
Yes, and I don't know if you can hear it, but I am starting to get squeaky from us talking.
So good. Well, it's a good thing we're starting to wrap it up,
so don't worry about it.
I'm looking forward to finally seeing The Lion King. That is on my list here. The Classic WoW stress test is coming, and there's a rainbow yarn bonanza in the packages from Amazon behind me, so I'm excited about that. Literally, like, right there.
One of our listeners, he said we could use Amazon packaging for our pinatas.
See, there we go. We can make stuff out of Amazon cardboard and what are those bubbly things that they send them in that my cat is terrified of. You pop it one time by your cat and they're scared forever. It's great.
It's like cucumbers.
Oh God, I don't understand that. but yeah, I also am looking forward to maybe having a job interview this week. Please, people, if you know of employment remotely, let me know. No, it's been an adventure lately, so I'm looking forward to more video game time. I'm getting psyched for Classic WoW, surprisingly, so I'm trying to get ready and for that, because it comes out later this month, and I'm sure I'll probably play some more Sea of Thieves this week, because I love that game a lot. It's fun. I'm a pirate. Rar.
You're a pirate. Ar.
Yar.
Oh, yar. And as for me, I'm just doing finishing touches on my cosplays, and because I'm not doing the giant crochet my cosplay anymore, I am starting a new crochet project, but it is going to be Totoro. It's going to be a blanket made out of granny squares. Like I said, you inspired me. So I'm going to make
Totoro so much.
So it's going to be all granny squares that are all sewn together, and they're going to make a Totoro. So we'll see how that goes. That may take me a couple months.
So cute, though.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Tuesday evenings. Our next one should be on August 11th at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern time.
Usually on Tuesdays.
Wait, Tuesdays or Sundays?
Sunday.
Sunday.
This is an old copy pasta. Damn
we copied the pasta, and now we're screwed.
Tuesday nights is heresy and hearsay. Geek Grills is Sunday.
Yep. Sunday. Domingo, Sunday.
We're so professional. Sunday.
We're the most professional, actually, on the internet. In addition to the subs and bits that we get here on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. I want to thank you all for being the greatest grill friends on the internet. And remember, you can become a patron at patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you can get a sub, can give that sub to us for free every month. So every month you get one free sub. Give it to us. We would like it so that we can help Nine and also so that we can, do more fun things. So yeah, help us if you can.
Yeah. Like a game thing or something.
Yeah, game night or something. I don't know, fun stuff, just saying.
Yeah. And then another way you can show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which can help other people find us. And you can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word. So, where can we find y'all on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12, on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
I am The Jen, so you can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter and streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. There will actually be some streaming happening very soon. Also, not only TheJenSays.com, but also another domain I forgot I owned is JenOnFire.com. So if I'm playing a video game, the answer is probably yes. So there you go.
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, which recently just came out on the 1st. And you can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.